Freilich and Sukkis. Very happy Mitzvah Shabbos from Lava Malka at the Selavant. Just announcing to our ships at sea where we are so that they can understand the noises in the background. You're listening to the sounds of Ramadan, the drunken neighbors with bongos, and a large group, Baruch Hashem, of Mishtatzvei HaBafyemi, right here in the Sukkah. I don't want to get an Ayin Hara, but we Ayin Hara. The Erevin is, you think Erevin was the thing that chased everybody away. What's it, John? It's great.
Welcome to Karev.
In general. Usually the Daf Yomi's, by the time they reach Shabbos, have disappeared. Yeah, today's Daf is Daf Yud Zayin. We are holding on Daf Tet Zayin Amid Beis by the two dots. Rabbi Zayin, we shall begin. I'm not sure whether I'd rather be fighting the helicopters in Richie's sukkah or...
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
More air. Oh, you had the helicopters in Richie's
sukkah? Oh, my gosh. Oh. I'm the one getting sukkah. Because we already finished, because you allow yourself as president to come in after everyone else.
Instead of you missing the first Amud, you didn't miss anything.
That's right. Okay, let's review... Can anybody hear me back there? Let us review the shittas that we had in the Mishnah. Remember that the Mishnah introduced the idea that we saw before in the Gemara, but for the first time in the Mishnah, we've introduced the concept of a mechitza that is made either of Shasi or Erev, not both. And we discovered that there seems to be a complex machlokes in the Mishnah as to when one can rely on such a mechitza. We already discussed earlier the concept of a mechitza that is Kitikuno veloti kitikuno, where we have some type of compromising situation, shall we say, in a mechitza. And we saw that such mechitzas, Rashi says, is a klal, the Chachonim gave a shir of such mechitzas, as he spoke about a tesvav, that we have a din of either mechitza shein boshesiyah erev, or a hekef that wasn't took of ladira, he says, or a lechi ha'imen me'elov, or mechitza imen me'elov, examples of semi perfect mechitzas. And we gave a shiur of maximum of Beit Sa'atayim, beyond which there's a halacha that we gave it a din of a karmelit min rabbanan, even though it's a perfectly kosher ushas hayochi. Here, for the first time, we're meeting the concept in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah gives us a case, which may be an example, or it may be indeed specific, in which if you have the three chavalim, and we talked about also, that's a erev mechitza, we have also a mechitza which is made out of kanim, that this, such a mechitza, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is dafke b'shayorot dibru. The Chachomim did not give any limitations to such a mechitza. They said it's fine. Chachomim omrim lo dibru b'shayorot b'hoveh. The example was simply a common example, but any situation where you have this type of mechitza is completely okay. It's not a compromise mechitza. Comes along Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda and says, kol mechitza she'ena shel shesiv v'shel erev eino mechitza mashma at all. And then we have a closing shita, which we don't understand what exactly it's adding to the original Chachomim. The Chachomim Eimrim Echad Mishnei Devori. One or the other is fine. It seems to be saying the same thing to Chachomim, Buhagen, and Rabbi Yehuda said. So we have four shitas, two of which we're not quite clear what they're arguing about. The Chachomim say such a mechitza is good all the time. Rabbi Yehuda is the extreme opposite. He seems to be saying such a mechitza is never good. And then we have the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, such a mechitza is good b'shayara. Specifically, where you don't have access to a normal mechitza, you're setting up shop right before Shabbos. But normally, we wouldn't allow such a mechitza. Now, it turns out that as we analyze the sugya, we'll see that things are not what they look like. So says the Gemara like this on the Mishnah, Mekifin Bekanim, and Rabbi Yehuda says b'shayara. Okay, so it asks the Gemara, is it true that Rabbi Yehuda limits it to b'shayara, in but b'yachid lo? V'atanya Rabbi Yehuda imer, kol mechitzot Shabbat lo hitiru liyachid yoter mi beitza taim. Didn't Rabbi Yehuda say that all types of compromised mechitzot and Shabbat are only, when it says kol mechitzot, it means compromised mechitzot, are only allowable in a case for a yachid, where it's not a shayara, up till the Beit Sa'atayim. But beyond that, no. So what we thought he was saying in the Mishnah, Bishayara Amru, couldn't possibly have meant only Bishayara, because here he's saying Beferush. No, it's also good for individuals. But for an individual, we treat it as part of the set of compromise mechitzot. For a Shayara, we treat it as a real mechitza. And it says the Gemara, that indeed is the pshat. We're going to see that we're going to need to say this anyway in the other sheet that's in the Mishnah, in a moment, that the meaning of mechitza, not mechitza, is mechitza vis-a-vis liten lem kol tzorchan. That we will not count it as a full mechitza, to give whatever you want, but you can get up to Beit Satayim. That, yes. So when he says, lo amru ela b'shayara, he meant lo amru ela b'shayara, to whatever size will accept such a compromised mechitza. But when it comes to yachid, no. Meaning, not no mechitza at all, but no full mechitza, but rather mechitza ru'ua, compromised mechitza, which is good up till Beit Satayim. Here it's talking about, of course, even where it is ukaf ledira. Where it's not ukaf ledira, even a full mechitza is considered to be a mechitza ru'ua. The example we give, please don't get confused between Rashi's example earlier of a mechitza that includes a space, a karfaf, that is Beit Satayim. A karfaf is a full-scale mechitza. The only thing that's wrong with it is that it's not ukaf ledira. So we treat it as part of the mechitzot ru'uot. But because the diur is also part of the value of the mechitza, mirabana. But this is a case where you were makif ledira for purposes of living, you need more living space, and nonetheless, as a yachid, you can't take it. You're only allowed to use such a compromised mechitza of shti or erev, but not both, in a case where you're going to limit the size of the enclosed area to less than Beit Satayim.
Like adding a yard to your apartment, like adding a space outside your apartment.
No, that's ladira. Not ladira is where you have, let's say, an area, a park area, that you like to walk around, and you enclose that. But it's not that you live in it at all.
Is that what he's talking about now?
The Shayara? No.
No, Beit Satayim, is that...
No, it's not what he's talking about. That's the point I'm trying to make. In a case where you're makif shalola dira, then in a chinami, up to and including, I make it clear, Beit Satayim is okay, but yotermi Beit Satayim is not okay. Mashenken over here, even ladira, we're not going to be mad to you more than Beit Satayim. That's the point that Reb Yehuda is making. But when Reb Yehuda says lo itiru, he doesn't mean lo itiru at all. He means lo itiru to give you kol tzorchan. But they were matir the shir of Beit Satayim. So Beit Satayim figures in two very different ways in these halachas. It's the shir that defines what we call a hekef, which is shalol l'shem dira. And even where it is l'shem dira, it's the maximum hekef that's given for mechitza ru'ua. Rashi says it's all the same thing. Because not having a diur is a mechitza ru'ua. And every mechitza ru'ua is only good up to and including Beit Satayim, which is why a karfaf that is hook of shalol l'shem dira is kosher up to Beit Satayim. It's really all one yesod. Except in one case, the problem is in terms of the shape of the mechitza. And then in the other case, the problem is in terms of the usage of the mechitza. But the yesod is the same. Continues the Gemara, you mentioned that will apply Reb Nachman Vitema Reb Bibi Bar Abaye. Where did Reb Nachman and Reb Bibi Bar Abaye say what they said? One of the others said what he said. Answers the Gemara on the following. We have the same problem on the next piece of the Mishnah, according to which Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda doesn't allow such a mechitza at all, mashma even for a shayarai doesn't use it, so we asked on that part of the Mishnah, doesn't the Braita say that echad yachid ve'echad shayara l'chavalim, both a yachid and a shayara can use a roped mechitza, which is a mechitza of erev without shesim. Uma ben yachid l'shayara. So what then is the difference? Yachid notim lo beit satayim. Whereas if you have one person, he only gets a beit satayim. As a matter of fact, if you have two people, you're also limited to beit satayim. Once you have three people, then you have a shayara. If you have a shayara, then we can give a what is required for dira is viewed as beit satayim, and therefore we give them sheish sa'a, beit sheish sa'in. In other words, two saw per person. Because if we didn't have the din of a shayara, we wouldn't give you that either. The mechitza would be limited, no matter how many people are going to use it. Since it's a mechitza ru'ua without shesiv erev, it'll be limited up to Beit Satay. V'chachamim omrim, echad yachid v'echad shayara, notnim lem kol tzarchan. There's no limits at all. There's no limits of six saw either. You could take as much as you need in the whole area that you want to live in. And what defines what you need? As long as you don't claim you need a lot of area, but you have two saw that are not being used at all. Nothing's there. We'll see, it's either you're Kalin. Amar Nachman. So to answer this stira, in Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, that in one place, in the Mishnah, he seems to be saying it's b'chlal not a mechitza. The other place he's saying it's a mechitza, but only up to Beit Zatayim, is that what he meant, says Rabbi Nachman, or maybe it was Rabbi Barabaya, what he meant was, lo nitzcha l'leten lem kol tzorchan. He meant it's not a mechitza, to be a real mechitza, to give whatever you need. But of course, it's a mechitza up to Beit Zatayim. So the Maisa, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, are all both talking about the question of l'ten lem kol tzorchan. That's for sure. What he is saying is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, B'shayara Amru, as we'll see the difference between them in the sugya coming up, but the case of a yachid, they're agreed with. The case of a yachid, you get up to Beit Zatayim, and that's all. The question where they disagree is Rabbi Yehuda says, we're matir for shayara, once it's a shayara, we're matir kol tzorchan. According to Rabbi Yehuda, even for shayara, we're not matir. We're matir as if there are three yechidim. You have three people, matir, beit, sheish, sayin. Fine. But in terms of yachid, as we'll see, they're basically saying the same thing. Daughter of Shub Nachman, Mishum Rabbeinu Shmuel. Rabbi Nachman got up and gave a drasha in public on Shabbos, and he said, yachid, nosim lo beit sa'atayim. If you have an individual, you give him tusa with this type of mechitza. If you have two individuals, they also get beit sa'atayim. If you have three individuals, shlosha nasu shayara, venotnim lem beit sheish, sayin. So in other words, who is he going according to? Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. He was arguing on the Chachamim, on Rabbi Yehuda. He asked him, what? Shavakta Rabbanan Levadatek Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. The only Shita who holds that we limit the Shayara is Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. All the other Shitas in the Mishnah say when it comes to Shayara, it's for sure good to give them Kol Tzorcham. And you're only giving Beit Sheish Tzorin. Why did you give such a psak? So he immediately, immediately went back to the Drosha, turned on his human loudspeaker, his Amira, and he said, V'dorash, dvarim shamarti lifnechem ta'utein biyadi. I take back what I just said. Made a mistake. Bram kach amru, the correct halakha is as follows. Yachid notim lo beit satayim, as I said before. Shnayim notim lem beit satayim, as I said before. But shlosha nasu shayara v'notim lem kol tzorchan. Not like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, but rather like Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbonim. Now, when you said Yochid Notim Lem Beit Zatayim, weren't you going like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda? Because the Rabbanan said that this is kosher for a Yochid. Understand? I mean, we yelled at him, you were Shavik, the Rabbanan, you did like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. See, when it was Mitakein, but he was only Mitakein the last piece. The first piece, he still insisted. No, if you're a Yochid, you only have a bit of Beit Zatayim. I mean, the Chachomim over there said that Shayaraz is an example. If it's an example, it means it's exactly the same as for Yachid. He can also take what he needs. So why did he? I mean, he split his psak now. He still didn't address the fact that he's not listening to the Rabbanan. Too close, Rich. Yeah.
Back there where the bed is.
And the coffee.
The coffee.
Would you like a coffee?
No. That might keep me awake.
Richie, come back. So how do we explain his splitting his psak? He goes like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, to limit a yochid to Beit Zatayim, and then in the end he goes like the Rabbanan. Says that's correct. Remember, his father, Rabbi Yehuda, when it comes to the yochid, agrees with Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and argues on the Rabbanan. So lemaisa, we have both Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda saying that a yochid is limited. When it comes to the din of a shayara, there everybody disagrees with Rabbi Yosef Rebuta, because they're Rebuta, all he's not limited, because of the din of shayara, and the Rabbanan all he's not limited, and over there, we can't paskin like him. Om Rav Gidol Amar Rav, Shlosha Bechamesha Surin, it's possible to find a case where three guys would be usher to carry in such a mechitza that's surrounded an area of five saw, which is weird, because l'chor they're shayara, and they're mutter, and even six saw maximum, I mean, according to the most chomer de kashita, even according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. It's a very strange psak. And it also could happen, Rav is quoted as saying, that b'sheva mutarim, you can have a case where they have seven saw, and it's mutter. So what's going on over here? Amrulei, so they said to Rav Gidol, ah, come on, Omar Rav, okay, Rav said a crazy psak like that. Amalo, listen here, guys. All right, and Aviv, Ektivit, Yom Ravach. You can bet your life on the Tanakh, you know, on the Torah, Navim, Ektivim. I'm telling you, Rav said that exactly. Om Ravashi, what's the big deal? My kusha. I mean, what, you can't figure out a case where it works out perfectly reasonable for Rav to give such a psak? Dumahakikama, maybe all Rav was saying is simply this. Let's say they needed a area of sheish. And they went ahead and they were makif more. Vikifu b'sheva. So then in such a case, if you've got three people, since you don't have two sa'a, that is panui, and the only limit that we gave, according to Rechom, we said, doesn't matter, take as much as you want. As long as you don't have two panui, okay, so here they have one panui. So they didn't hurt their hekef. So it's still good. So now filu b'sheva mutarin. But let's say lo utzchuela l'chamesh v'kifu b'sheva. Let's say they only needed an area of five saw. Now they have two saw that are panui. If they have two saw that are panui, that ruins the whole thing. So then now filu b'chamesh. The roster. Maybe that's all Rav was saying. You could have said that too. There's nothing so shocking about that. Wait a minute. So when it says bevat shaloyu beit satayim panui, I thought that meant my love panui mi adam. I thought that meant that if you have more than two saw empty, meaning after allowing two saw per person, which was what we were talking about the whole time, so let's say you would have three people have a right to six saw, and they are makif eight saw. I thought that's what you meant. But over here you're telling me you've got three people that were makif seven saw. Two saw they're not using. So, I mean, isn't it defined by the people? By what they could use?
And that's seven and two ones used to ruin the whole thing, wouldn't it?
But not if everybody has a right to two. So then they don't have two panui. If panui is defined by the population density rather than by actual usage. So then by definition, three that are in an area of seven do not have two panui because we're defining it by population. Says the Gemara, no, that's Taka the Chiddush that Rav was saying. That panui means panui mi kelim. It's not a function of population density. It's a function of actual usage. So in the mail, it's possible to have a case where you have three that have two panui, even though they have an area of seven. They simply have a denser area they're using, and they left two beitza that don't have anything in it at all. Itma. We have a shaila like this. In a case where you had three people at the beginning of Shabbos, and one of them dies, metechad mehem. So now you no longer have a shayara. Or you can have the opposite. You could have two people that were there before Shabbos. The area is larger than his mutter for such a hekef. And now, nitosef lemechad. Somebody comes and joins them on Shabbos, that they now have sufficient people to have a din of a shayara. What would be the din in such a case? There's a machlokas refun Rav Yitzchak. Chad amar Shabbat goremet, v'chad amar diorin gormi. One man the amar also, look, whatever the halach is for the Shabbos. That's what defines it. Either Shabbos is muteret or Shabbos is asura. It doesn't go according to the situation at any particular moment. But if somebody walks out, it's now no longer usable. This was an area that is called hukaf ludira for this Shabbos. The fact that somebody's not there is unimportant. Or it's called hukaf shalol shem dira. And the fact that somebody comes and joins doesn't change anything. Yeah, that's what it means by Shabbos. This one's from Atish Shabbos. Whereas the other, and we don't know who's who yet. V'charam adiorim gormi. No? It's actually a function of the people that are there. If you have three people, good. If you don't, you don't. Even if it's in the middle, it becomes mutter, and so on and so forth. Now, it says here, we don't know who said what, but we can prove who said what, because we know that it must be Rav Huna who says that it was Shabbat that's goremet and not the current number of the Orim.
Current number
of
Orim?
Uh-huh. That's what happens. That loop sometimes messes out on the last few, you know. I don't know. Maybe we should repair it.
We'll work on it.
Yeah. Nice. Right. You got any drinks, maybe we can...
Yes, please.
No, I'm going to give you
a double.
No, don't. But don't really, you'll keep him up all night. Don't okay. You talk about coffee or scotch? What are we talking
coffee,
about?
Coffee.
No, don't give him that. No. I will kill you for the night.
Okay. Coffee, yeah.
So, Tistayim the Rav Huna, the Amar Shabbat Goremet. Why? Because Rabbah said, I asked Rav Huna, and I asked Rav Yehuda, what would be if you made an Eruv through a doorway? And the doorway, now you need to have a shear of a doorway, as we'll see later on, of Arba. In order to be ma'arev, two chatzeres that are next to each other. Suppose in the middle of Shabbos, the doorway collapses, and it gets filled in with rubble. And you still have windows that are open between the two chatzerot, but those windows you wouldn't have been able to make an eruv lechatchila, as we'll see. So what's the deal? Can I continue to pass things through the window from one chatzer to the other? Or do I say, since the mechitza of the eruv, in this case the Pesach, is batal, so too the whole thing is batal? So, or if you had a large enough chalon, and this time a chalon, what would be the din? And he answered me, the din is Shabbat Toil v'Hutra Hutra. So you see that he held, once you gave the right to be metaltal in a particular area, you have an Erev in a particular area, it doesn't change because of changes on Shabbos. So okay, to Stayem, you're right. It's Rav Huna who holds Shabbat Goremet, and it's Rav Yitzchak, obviously, therefore, who must be the one who holds the Urim Gormim. Says the Gemara, but there is an old machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda about what appears to be the same issue. Lema Rav Huna v'Rabbi Yitzchak bepluktet the Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Yehuda kamiflagei. Is it that they're having here basically a machlokas tanoim? It's not. Chatzer shenifritza mishtei ruchoteha v'chein bayit shenifratz mishtei ruchoteha v'chein mavui shenitlo korotav olechayav. If you have a change in the status of the mechitza on Shabbos, the chotzer becomes nifratz. The Gemara over there asks, why does it have to be nifratz? Mishtei ruchot, the chotzer, there's no special din about shtei ruchot.
On Shabbos.
Even on Shabbos. Even with ruchachas there, the Gemara explains what the additional chiddushes of shtu ruchot. But in any event, you destroy over here your mechitzas on Shabbos, or your korah falls down, or your lechi falls down. So we have a machlokas over there. Rabbi Yehuda says, mutarim lo ta Shabbat, v'yasurim latid lavo. Look, it's good for one Shabbos, because it started off kosher. But once Shabbos is over, you can't rely on it anymore. You're going to have to fix it for next Shabbos.
Is Eruv right on Shabbos?
We'll see. Latid lavo, devi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer, im mutarim lo ta Shabbat, mutarim latid lavo. I understand what you're saying. Either it is a mechitza, or not a mechitza. Whoever did a crazy thing like this. If you want to use it this Shabbos, go use it for the rest of your life. Obviously, what he's saying, the Gemara comes out, is that the other way is correct. He can't use it next Shabbos, he can't use it this Shabbos. So, but so are we going to say, therefore, the Rav Huna, who says it's defined by the Shabbos, he holds exactly like Rav Yehuda. Rav Yitzchak, who says, no, it's a function of the current status of the Diorim, so he would hold, therefore, exactly the same thing as Rav Yossi, that either you have the Mechitza, or you don't have the Mechitza. Says the Gemara, and absolutely not. There's not necessarily any connection between these two machlokas. Rav Huna would respond like this. I'm like a Rav Huna. Ana di amre afilu Rav Yossi. I, who said before that indeed the Shabbat is goremet, I would say that Rav Yossi would absolutely agree with me, and I would agree with him. Really? I mean, isn't he saying it depends on the current status? Of course he is. But I can't look on Rav Yossi as with us to the mechitzas. There's a tremendous difference between our relationship to the physical rishos, which is one din, and our relationship to utilization of the diurin of the rishos, which is another din. All Rabbi Yossi is saying, you can't have a hutra Shabbat based on mechitzot that are no longer mechitzot. Mechitzot defines the reality. It's either shusayot, which is a rabbi, and the rabbanon didn't depart from that reality to say that a mechitza, once we're matter, an area that the rabbanon are going to be machmer on, would treat it as the equivalent problem of diurin. It's a much more realistic question. Diurim is a definition of usage which has no mocker in the Torah B'chlav. So over there, that concept that the Rabbanim wanted to add, the view of diurim being central, fine. So whatever is mutter at the beginning of Shabbos is mutter. I would never have extended it to say mechitzas, and he would never have extended his chumra mechitzas, perhaps to say against me, and to say that diurim is also a function of what is exactly going on right now, the way my antagonist over here, Rabbi Yossi, would hold. I feel Rabbi Yossi would agree with me across the board, whereas Rabbi Yitzchak would say on the contrary. Rabbi Yossi obviously agrees with me, because I mean, he says it's a function of what's currently standing. Why would he say any differently in terms of what current usage is? He'd say the same thing. But I insist that even Rabbi Yehuda agrees with me. Why? Because Ad kan lo kama Rabbi Yehuda asam ela de'isnu la de'yuri, aval hacha lesson la de'yuri. Since l'maisa the heter to Rabbana is always given in terms of the right to utilize this rishus. The right to utilize is a way in which you live. And therefore, it's a function of how is it being lived in. So as long, I mean, obviously, I'm not going to be matir caring for Mishus Ayokot, which is a rabbi. But as long as we have a case where it's only a Rabbanan problem, and the Rabbanan define the usage that you can make of this Rishus, so they don't change it in the middle of Shabbos. I think Rabbi that everybody would agree with that. Rabbi Yehuda would agree with that. We change it according to the reality even in the middle of Shabbos. I think Rabbi Yehuda would agree with that too. V'chachonim omrim, echad mishnei dvorim. Now, that four shita, the closing words in the Mishnah, just repeated the shita of the Rabbanan that argue on Rabbi Yehuda. They said, Shayara is only a model, but you can use anybody. It's standard. It's people in Shayara don't have time to make a fancy mechitza. So what are the Chachamim adding when they say, either way, it doesn't matter. Yeah, Shayara, no Shayara. Hainatanakama. No, the nafkamina would be yachid b'yishuv. When the Tanakama says lo diblu b'shayara ela b'hover, it's because a yachid doesn't generally travel through the midbar on his own. But if he would, fine. But it's still only a b'di'evid mechitza, which for purposes of difficulty in creating mechitza, we're matur you, you're on the road. So we'll be matur even a yachid. That's what they meant. Lo dibru b'shayara ela b'hove. But certainly we don't say this is a standard mechitza. The closing rabbanan who say that doesn't matter, literally mean it doesn't matter. You want to have a permanent mechitza in the middle of town like this, perfectly okay for a yachid too? This is not a compromise of mechitza, shasi below Erev, or Erev below shasi. So in fact, we have four different shitas in the Mishnah. So the most mako shita is the closing rabbanan. Those rabbanan hold, there's no nafkamina between a mechitza with shasi or Erev alone, and a mechitza with shasi or Erev. It's completely kosher mechitza, whether it's b'yishuv, whether it's b'midbar, whether it's a yachid, whether it's b'shayara, and we don't have these limits. Then come along the next most Meikel Shita, which was the Rabbanan, the first Rabbanan in the Mishnah. They say such a mechitza is good in an emergency. Doesn't matter whether there's a lot of you or one of you, but if you're in a pickle, you can use a mechitza like this, but not as your normal mechitza in a yishuv. But it doesn't matter if you're not in a yishuv, whether a yachid or a shayara. Comes along now the next most chomer, it's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, we're matter this for a shayara, and we'll give you as much as you need as a shayara. But for a yachid, we'll only be matirit up till Beit Satay. Because it's a compromise, and for two people also up to Beit Satay. But it's a compromise situation. And then we have the most chomer, Rabbi Yehuda's son, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda holds even for a shayara. We're only going to be matir, not called Tzorchan, but Beit Sheish Soy. But we're not certainly not going to say that it's a completely kosher mechitz for anybody, even for a shayara. We'll give you Beit Satayim per person, but that's the maximum that we'll do for you for a Shayarat too.
That's what we mean? In other words, if there's six in the Shayarat 12?
Zukta Heilige Mishnah.
Speaking of traveling in the Midbar, and speaking of Sukkot, of course, Arba'a Dvarim Patru B'machaneh. So if you're in an encampment, you can have four heterim in such an encampment. Mevi'im Eitzim Mikol Makom. You're allowed to pilfer wood for your purposes. Now, this is all. Oh, so that's the question over here. Is this camp a Bnei Akiva camp? Or is this camp a military camp? Or is this camp a military camp that is on its way to war? And only under those circumstances are we matir any of those things. No. In general. There's one piece here that's Nagia Shabbos, which is Erev that we're about to get to. But the rest are at any time. So you can pilfer Eitzim from any place that you want. Upturim rechitzat yadayim, you don't have to wash your hands before eating. Umitmai, you don't have a problem of the takonat rabbanan on the tevel that you got, the suffix tevel you got from an amoret. You can rely on the fact that rova amoret some asri. Umilarev, and the dinim of eruv, they weren't makpiran. So let's say you had two groups of soldiers that had built separate mechitzas that have now a doorway between them. They don't require an eruv between those mechitzot. Tana Rabbana, machana hayotzeit lemilchemet harishut, mutarim begezel eitzim yeveshim. So here it says clearly, we're talking about, in this case, a machana that's on its way to a milchama, even though it's only a milchemet rishut, not a milchemet mitzvah, so it's not a defensive war, it's not a war to conquer Eretz Yisrael, necessarily. Nonetheless, they're allowed to take even dried eitzim. Reviyuta ben teimomer avchonim miechot pechomakom. They can also encamp anywhere without rishus of the owner. And b'mokam shenehergu sham nikbarim. Furthermore, they are buried wherever they fall. The Gemara is going to ask, is it the siddin of any mate mitzvah? But we'll get to that. Richie? Yeah. Captain?
A little bit of coffee.
Says the Gemara, okay, let's go through the cases. Mutarim begezo eitzim yaveshim. This is only because they're going to war. This is one of the takanaot of Yoshua. When Yoshua came into Eretz Yisrael and was mechalek Eretz Yisrael, he was mechalek with certain conditions that everyone had to agree to as part of Chalukat Haaretz. And therefore, they would be binding under all circumstances. Why do we need to talk about a machana? It says over there, the Omar Mar, Asara Tnaim, Mitna Yoshua, we had in Meruba, that we have 10 Tnaim that were part of Yerusha Sa'aretz. One of them is Shumarin Bechurshin, that you're allowed to allow your animals to graze in open Choresh area that is not being used for planting or for somebody's personal usage, and they can't stop you and just fence off the land. And the other one is that also Malaktim Eitzim Misadotehem, that you can go and you can collect wood that is free in somebody's field and hasn't been set aside for use. So what does it have to do with a machana? And it says the Gemara, what do you mean? The het of Yoshua was, first of all, Hatam Behizmi Vehigi. First of all, the only right that you had over there was to gather not real wood, but rather Hizmi Vehigi, which is basically junk wood, thorns, thistles that that people base that don't really use to put in a fireplace normally. So they did, certainly doesn't serve much use. That he was matir. Furthermore, Hasam Bemechubarim, Hokabit Lushim. Over there, what Yoshua was matir was only where it's connected to the ground. The owner hadn't done anything to show that he was going to use it. You're talking about where the owner already detached it from the ground, and therefore you would have had to, in terms of the Tanai of Yoshua, you'd have to think, I don't have a right to take this. I mean, you already indicated that he was working on it. Maybe he wants it for himself. Furthermore, Inami Hatam Belachim Achabi Yaveshim. The whole point over here is Mutarim Begezel Eitzim Yaveshim. Yetzim Yaveshim are usable right now. I mean, I have no reason to think that the owner is not makbet on that because of the Tanai of Yoshua. The Tanai of Yoshua was you could take Yetzim Lachim and now you'll worry what to do with it. Here we're talking about all three of these things, as Tosis points out, they're all true. It's not these are alternatives. Inami. In other words, there's three different things over here you'd have to take into consideration, A and B and C. None of these things would have followed from the Tanai of Yoshua. Reb Yudah ben Tima Omer, Av Chonim Bechol Makom, Ubimakom Shenehragim, Sham Nikbarim. Isn't that obvious? And it's a pshita, it's a meis mitzvah. Meis mitzvah is konemikomo, again, as part of the Yoshua Tanaim. So what do we have over here? Because they're part of a military encampment. In any event, they would be konemikomo. No, Tzricha, Afagav, the Itle Kovrim. The technical definition of a meit mitzvah would be where an individual finds a meit, and he's completely alone, and doesn't have anybody now to be kovrim him, that there, he's kovrim the mate where he finds him. But here we're talking about in the middle of a military campaign, there may be plenty of soldiers around, he could be lifted and carried somewhere, and so on. That's not a mate mitzvah, but nonetheless, because of the requirements of war, they were matir, burying the dead on the spot, and beyond the Tanai of Yoshua. D'tanya, in terms of the Tanai of Yoshua, his own eight mitzvah, koshein lo kovrin, where there's no one else to be kover. And that would be, if you are korei, you could shout, help, and somebody answers you, ain't there eight mitzvah? So it's not negiah that halacha. Wait a minute. But even a eight mitzvah, you're saying a eight mitzvah is konei mekomo anywhere? But tanya, hamotzei meit mutal b'sratya, b'faneu liyamin b'sratya, v'smola b'sratya. If you find a mate that is lying across the road, you take him to the right or to the left. If you, one of those sides is a stay bore, and the other is a stay near, so obviously you take it to the stay bore. The stay bore has had no work done to it. The stay near isn't planted, but it's been already harush. You put in work into the field, then don't waste it, and you move the mate into the area of the stay bore that hadn't been worked. If you had a choice between a stay near that you had plowed and a stay zera that you had actually planted, put the mace into the stay near. But in a case where both are near, or both are zeruah, or both are bur, so whatever is more convenient for you, whatever you feel like doing, but certainly, it's not kona mikomo. You took for granted that even a normal make mitzvah, according to the Tanai Yoshua, would be kona mikomo, and it seems that that isn't true. Answers the Gemara, is it mifaneh? Answers the Gemara, Amr Rav Bibi, ochel make mutal ala meitzar askina. Here we're talking about that the mate is stretched across the boundaries of the road. In other words, it's not off to the side, and therefore there would be no way to mark off an area of a mate. Anybody walking by is going to become tamei. All tyrants will become tamei. Kohanim will be over on Isurim. Of course we can't bury him in the middle of the highway. Once we're able to be mefaneh from where he is, then we'll take him to the most reasonable place to take him. And there we don't say he's kona mekomo. If he isn't kona mekomo, then he isn't kona mekomo that's immediately next to that mekomo. Once he's moved. But where do we say he's kona mekomo? Where that mokom is as good as the place you move it to.
So place him in the cemetery?
See?
Why can't you put him in the cemetery?
You could. You're not mechuyev to. You're all alone. You have the mate. You can't bury him where he is in this case. So, okay, you can schlep him how you feel. I mean, obviously, if you're such a tzaddik and you're Superman, and you can fly him to the cemetery. Omer of Bibi. Yeah. So, what do you mean? Fanel v'chol rav sheyirtzeh. Upturim mirchitzat yadayim. Omer abayi loshon amayim rishayim. You could be matir eating without netilas yadayim before. But, I mean, you certainly are not going to be matir soldiers to eat without mayim achreinim ribayim shalom. What the phase mere. And that we would never be matir. By the way, that there's questions over here about like a tefillah. And if your hands are actually dirty, you know, many of the Rishonim say, if you know for a fact that the Yadayim are Tmeis, then of course you'd have to be at least Bemidi Demanke. You'd have to use something clean, like the Gemara in Baruch said, if you don't have water. So over here, we're matir even where there's water within a meal. So you're like this, we would say, no, you have to wait. Here, you don't have to wait. But you would certainly need Midi Demanke. When you're saying you don't need Rukitzas Yadayim at all, it's where you have no Stam Yadayim. You have no clear knowledge of the fact that they required Netilas Yadayim because they touched an area that was Mechayim. But Mayim Achronim is dangerous. I understand. We're going to allow you to get blind because you're in a tough situation. There's no compromises with that kind of thing. Halacha, we can compromise. How can we compromise on your eyes? Why did we say that? There is a particular type of salt that if it gets into your eyes, it can blind you. But let's understand what we're talking about. We're not talking about melach that comes from stone. We're talking about within the melach of Sodom. That you could have mishtakcha kekurta bekura. You might find one grain of salt in an entire kur. But because of that, we don't play around. And we're mechayev you at all times to wash your hands. So what happens if you didn't even eat? Suppose you were just measuring out salt to put it to send it to the store to sell. Marley lomi boy, there's nothing to ask. So the Rishonim explain, not lomi boy, you don't need, but lomi boy, don't ask. Obviously you need to. Absolutely, there's a chiyuv. The point is, as long as your fingers come into contact with salt that you may then touch your eyes with, you have to wash them off. So it's not even a su'udah necessarily. The Tosis brings that in his time, they weren't noyek to use mayim achronim. And he says, well, there's two possible reasons, maybe both. First of all, this type of melach sedomis, we don't have beinenu. You know, not here in France anyway. I mean, you couldn't catch a Frenchman dead using melach sedomis. So we don't have to worry about that. Furthermore, it is not our minhag to actually expose our fingers to salt. And we know the Gemara in Bracha says that if you ate a whole Suda and you didn't have some salt, then, you forget it. So they used to have salt that you would put your fingers into and you would lick a little bit of salt. Because, it used to be that the salt was an extremely, extremely expensive and important commodity. And you controlled the salt, you controlled the world economy, you know. There were such periods. We take salt for granted. It used to be a very major thing. So you had to make certain that you got the requirements that you needed for your nourishment. And they would give out salt. You take a look at the animals and salt picks. They know how valuable it is. You don't necessarily get the salt that you need. They'll risk their lives. A salt pick is an extremely dangerous thing for an animal because everybody knows that that's where they hang out. So do the other animals, you know. And if you're a lion, you'd have a nice place to get your salt, baby.
Yeah.
That's right.
So many people in Europe, Yekas, never used Mayim Achronim.
Well, there's those are the two elements of Tosfos. There's more that's involved. If you're talking about Yekas, a Yekas would never get his finger dirty. That's I'm not joking. It's really serious. It's brought in the Trubis. But their minhag was, of course, to be very careful to use only forks and knives and spoons, but they're going to touch their food. Such a person wouldn't be a Yekke anymore, by definition. It was Eldon Ripley's, believe it or not. He had this thing, if you could prove him wrong, that you won a prize. At the time, it was a big prize. I think it was $50. You know, but anyways, one of the things he had, Ripley's, believe it or not, was that no Jew has ever passed beneath the Arch of Titus. You heard this mindset? So a soldier wrote him in after the war that I was in the war. And I'm telling you, I'm Jewish, and I walked under the Arch of Titus. He said, no, you don't win your $50 because there's a cheirim, and if you walk under it, so then you're not a Jew anymore, by definition. So you're also, if you're a yekeh, so then you didn't touch the food, by definition, right? So mamela, there's no problem of requiring my macaroni. So it's a very serious serious truma. So anyways, that's another reason why if you're not going to come in contact with the melach directly, and you don't need to be makbid on supplementing your salt intake and so on. So then it went out of favor. Lemaisa, there are many shitas that hold that this is a takana. It wasn't just a response to the sakana, because the sakana is so minimal that it's obviously one of those takanas that gives you some element and doesn't talk about the rest. As a takana, it stands. That's the grosh sheet that grows very much. On my macaroni, many of the sheet are supposed to be makbe. Well, yes, they're supposed to be mamaya. It depends. According to the Bali Kabbalah, that the main issue is elements of klipas, and so on and so forth. So women shouldn't be makbe. But I mean, according to the Pashtun Zera, women have eyes, and women have fingers, and women eat salt. So what's in the game? Yeah.
One of my first positions in the army was guarding a salt manufacturing plant of Southern Salt. That's
okay. So you had a lot of experience doing my macaroni. My Kyle Milcha. Good. Umi demai. Ditznan. Ma'achilina ta'anim demai. Vet achsanya demai. So this is the achsanya. This would be the equivalent of our case. Rashi learns all over that the achsanya, benagia demai, is referring to the soldiers of Amalek Yisrael that are now going around and they're being barracked by people, or they want food from people, that you're allowed to give them demai. And Tosfos is bothered by what does Ravuna have to tell us the time of the Beit Shammai. So he explains that the reason that we're makbid sometimes to give background information, that you shouldn't think that this was said by everyone, is in case you find someone who is chaylik in a brisa and says ein machilin, you should know that it's Beit Shammai, and therefore you won't be chayish to be paskin like it. Umila arev, and you don't have to make an erev. Harmi devei Rabbi Yonai, when you say you don't have to make an erev, it means, if you're at war, it means lo shana leruvei chatzerot, aval eruvei techumim chayavim. The rabbanon make them be mavater on their dinim of erev. Very nice. But when it comes to erev techumim, then you're dealing with the diraisa. The toni rabchia, loikin ale ruvei techumim dvar terah, that you would be chayav for our yetzei ish mimekaymei b'yom ha-shabbat. So you would be chayev malchus on that like any lav. In which case, how can they pater you for defining your makom shvita on Shabbat and say you can go outside of your makom shvita? By the way, just for the record, there is a three-way machlokas about this question. Some rishonim paskin that all tchumim are only the Rabbanan included. Everything, even Yud Beis Mil. There's no such thing as a D'oraisa. The Shiltais and some of the Rishonim Paskin that even Alpayim Amah is D'oraita. And the Rambam, following the sheet of the Rif, Paskins that Alpayim Amah is D'rabbanan, which is an extension to the Yud Beit Mil, which is Machane Yisrael in the Midbar, which is the definition of Malkam in the Pasuk, and that indeed is D'oraisa. So when over here it says that you're in Lokin Alei Ruvei Tchumi, it's saying that he's this din of Alpayim Amah to be Yotzeh. Chutz Alpayim Amah is a diraisa. Maskifla Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yonasan. V'chi leikin alav sheba'al. But because it says al yetzeh yishmi mekaymei, al is a lashon of lav to get malchus on. Maskifla v'achbeh. I said, well, you never heard that before. Well, you think I say lo, da'asa, but something's wrong with al. I mean, elo mi'ati d'chsiv, al tifnu elo ovot v'la yidonim. So that's not a lav. Or chinam yelo loki. But that's, there's something wrong with that laugh? No, Rabbi Yonatan wasn't asking him. Rabbi Yonatan was pointing out that this is really a laugh, shenitan la'azarat mitat bedin. The whole laugh, shenitan la'azarat mitat bedin, ain't looking at laugh. Since from this pasuk, we also darshan, al potzi ish mimekomo. And we say that's the pasuk meaning. Al yetze, is al yotzi. Because, I mean, normally in the context that it's referring to, al yetze, it's a reference to collecting the man. So maybe don't go out. What does that mean? It doesn't mean don't go outdoors. It doesn't mean don't go outdoors to collect the man. And collect it, of course. And so we're talking about the Yisr of Eitzah. This is the pasuk that we brought earlier when we talked in Shabbos. We talked about the Yisr of Eitzah on Shabbos. If that's the case, so then if it's an Yisr of Eitzah, so then it's a lav shenitan lazaras mitzvah besdin. And you're saying you're loikin. Well, how would you get loikin? If the purpose of the pasuk is to tell me an iser of Hitzar and Shabbos, then it's a chiyav karas, chiyav nisa. It's not a chiyav malkus. So then once that's true, we do not apply in the lesser chiyav of the chutz l'tchum, we would not apply a din of malkus based on such an azara, because it's a lav shita and zarsmi's best and ain't loikin on love. Omer of Ashi, nichativ, al yotzi. I don't know what you're talking about. But this pasuk doesn't talk about carrying. The pasuk talks about exclusively going b'chutz l'tchum, and therefore it's not nitan azarat misas bezdin. So you'll have to find somewhere else, but this is certainly not a marker for haitzah. I mean, the Tosis points out this is a very strange pshat. I mean, first of all, we kept bringing up that the meaning of the pasuk al yetze is al yetze for the purposes of al yotzi, not the drasha that we're reading it, al yotzi. And besides, I mean, then why did we bring up this whole jazz about Azarat Mitat Mikdin? Just come straight out and say, is the pasuk talking about Otsa, or is the pasuk talking about Tchumim? Well, how did we think it was talking about Tchumim, but it was also talking about Otsa? Well, that whole point is totally irrelevant, says Taisus. There's a straight out machlokas here. What is the pasuk referring to? Where did you get into this Azarat Mitat Mikdin jazz before? Makes no sense whatsoever. Therefore, says Taisus, of course, that's not the meaning of the Gemara. Obviously, the Gemara is not changing here, and we're saying, forget about everything we learned back in Shabbos. We don't hold to the meaning al yotzi shvimakoma. We don't. Of course, that's not what it's saying. The meaning is that indeed the Gemara is taking for granted that we use this pasuk as an azara for Eitzah, which is a malacha gerua, and therefore we require these psukim as the Tosfos on the first staff of Shabbos explained why we're looking specifically for psukim legabe Eitzah instead of going directly to the Mishkan. And throughout the Masechta, he kept stressing that nekudah. This is the machlokus over here. Everybody agrees that certainly we're going to learn out Hotzah from here. The question is whether, when it also means kefipshuto al yetzei shvimekomo, whether that's a din kipshuto. It doesn't say. It says al yetzei. What's the primary? Is the primary the pshat of the way it's written, or is the primary the understanding of the context and so on? So the Gemara was saying, even if you're ready to extend this into a meaning of tumim, but certainly you're agreeing that it's a lavanita nazaras mises basement, in which case you couldn't even use it for the din of haitzah. To which he responds, no. Since the ikr cross by haitzah, then you wouldn't be loika on it at all if the ikr is based. Therefore, I'm telling you that, no adarama. The ikr cross is indeed tumi, not haitzah. You wouldn't use it for anything but the lava. But it's a giloy on haitzah, but it's not the imbok of the azar. And therefore it's a standard law, which Rav Yonasan never had a problem with. Obviously a standard law. This was your like her. Hadron alach mavui. Osim pasin lebeiraot arba'ad yumdim nirin kishmona divrei Rabbi Yehuda. As we already saw in the earlier perek, when it comes to beiraot, now this is not any old beiraot, as we'll see. These are the beiraot of the Eile Regel, this old circus of Yanamir, of course. These are the beiraot of the Eile Regel, and where they're on the highway, and they need to be able to water their animals on Shabbos. There's no time to be metaken, and so on. Now there you can make pasin. We saw that pasin are arba'a diyumdin. We took Rabbi Yehuda's sheet all along, which are four corner pieces, and each one sticks out. We'll see the shiurim as we go along. We've been talking about an arm on each direction. And that creates a virtual mechitza on all four sides that marks off the area, and therefore you're allowed to carry from the bar, which is Rishut HaYachid, very often. Remember, to be Rishut HaYachid, you only need to be 10 tefachim deep. That's pretty standard for a bar. And you only need to be 4 tefachim wide, which is pretty standard for a bar. So in Mamela, they had to make a takonah to take the water out of the bar. If you're going to take it out into the street, into the highway, it'll be Hoytzah Mamish. So by putting up these Arba Diyumdin, they were Mater Hoytzah. We'll complete the mission in the Sugya tomorrow. Be'ezrat Hashem. Oh, we're not going to Mendel?
I've asked for it in the beginning of Sukkot.
Well, I kept asking. You said it was open. I know, you never told us.
I sent him an email.
Oh, my God. That email that you sent to me. Oh, dear me. I never read that email. I thought I knew all the info. I thought they were already making it. I wonder.
That's fine. Maybe we do what Yermis has shared with us. Everything was brought to one place, but everybody was there.
I'm terrible. I have no idea. And I kept saying, I kept.
Yeah,
I was in Yaakov's Sukkah yesterday, and I said, nobody knew, and he was there. I thought, wasn't he there? He wasn't there. Wasn't there?
Oh. I wasn't there with the
oh dear.
And what time is it?
Well, I'm going to have to come up and see your place then anyway. Right, it's terrible. And it's very disappointing. Okay, I mean, obviously, no, I mean, listen, if he took first, I mean, I guess he gets dibs. But he was at Richie Sook, he didn't say anything. He didn't say a word. Are you sure? Maybe you're getting convinced?
No.
Yeah. Well, maybe he doesn't feel well for tomorrow morning. So maybe we should call and find out what he wants to do.
I suggest that he would speak to Abba and then decide.
Yeah, we have to decide.
It's not his, it's not up to him to decide. No, no. Why don't you find out what's doing in the... Okay. Right, so should we assume we're going to go to Abba? Or? Can you call right now? Can you want to call him right now? I have his number. Yeah, we should have a mention.
Well,
oh, again, this stupid phone is broken.
Cheesecake that's come up in the
impression. It's okay, we can't... The whole Robin can't bench me. The whole Robin can't bench me.